Welcome everyone, it's great to be sharing worship with you all again. Here in Skegness we've had a really busy week and the weather has been very good, except for Wednesday when we thought the summer was over. But things picked up again on Thursday and Friday was good as well. Elsie did have a great birthday with the family in South Africa and she thanks everyone who sent her birthday wishes. She's now down in George in the Cape with her sister and brother-in-law to celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary. Our thanks to Margaret and Eleanor for the work in the charity shop this week, and to Kathy and Graham for their help in holding the fort while Margaret and Eleanor had their lunch break. So now let's prepare us for worship. Are you ready? Are you ready for your life to be changed? Are you ready to meet with the living God? Almighty God is calling us to rejoice. We rejoice in God's presence. Jesus Christ is calling us to be his people. We come together as Christ's people. The Holy Spirit is calling us to celebrate the love of God. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, Victorious, thy great name we praise. Let's sing Immortal, Invisible.
Father of life,
Brothers and sisters in Christ, peace to you and grace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm 66 we read, shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing the praises of your name. Come and see what God has done. His awesome deeds for mankind. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against him. Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. Thanks be to God for his word. Amen. You know, in this psalm, the writer expresses such joy, and it's not merely in response to some personal good fortune, but to all the actions of the God of all the earth, the God whose victorious power has defeated the waters of both sea and river. And when he says this, the psalmist has in mind God's victory over the primeval forces of chaos, reflected, of course, in the Genesis stories of creation and the flood, and the parting of the Red Sea to allow Moses and the Hebrews to escape captivity. But the main thrust of the psalmist is that the one God of all the earth declares peace to the whole of creation and invites all nations to receive and share his blessing. So let us make a joyful noise, singing glory to God, offering glorious praise. Let us join with the psalmist and say to our God, how awesome are your deeds, holy is your name. So all creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing, Alleluia, Alleluia. Let's sing, all creatures of our God and King.
Song.
Let us pray. Lord, our God and King, we rejoice in all that you have done. We gather to praise you and to reflect on how we can play our part in your work. Lord, be with us now. Inspire us. Enrich our worship and encourage our mission. Lord, we bring ourselves to this place, this moment in time. We bring ourselves to worship you, O Lord. We come knowing you and yet seeking to know you more. We come to offer you our prayers and praises and to receive your blessing. Lord, you are our all. You created and crafted us. You are the purpose of our journey. You are our aim, our purpose, our goal. Lord, you receive each of us, no matter who or what we are. You give us peace and you call us to be one in you and to share that peace with all whom we meet. Lord, you call each of us to serve each other, for in doing so, we are serving you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we constantly have the power of your Holy Spirit to assist us in this task. Help us today and every day to trust in that power living in us, and help us to see and use it wisely and to your glory. Amen. So today, as we gather in Jesus' name, we continue, as always, to support each other on our spiritual journey. This month, we will be exploring through the scriptures how we can serve Christ and each other. Actually, when we serve each other, we are in fact serving Christ. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." So you could say that we will be looking this month at using our lives to work together for the kingdom of God. And I'm sure you're very familiar with the saying, many hands make light work. As I'm sure you all know, what that saying is all about is easing the burden. Increasingly, people today are becoming burdened with so much which is outside their control. And as a consequence, the task of easing the burden is growing. You know, individually, we can't solve everyone's problems. Sometimes we can't even solve our own. But we can contribute to the solving process, even in a small way, especially if everyone chips in together with the same intention. Today, we will make a difference, even to global problems. Of course, isn't this what we're being told about global warming? Having a personal faith is one thing, but we can't keep it to ourselves. Jesus calls us to be hands-on in the way we live out our Christian faith. So ours is a hands-on Christianity. And that's our theme this week. As I said, our overall theme for July is serving Christ and each other. And so it might well be appropriate to pause now and recommit ourselves to the task of serving others. For God says, "I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry. All who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send?" And of course, our response just has to be, "Here I am, Lord. It is I, Lord. I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart." Let's sing, "I, the Lord of sea and sky."
Stars of night, I will make the darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send?
Here I am, Lord. This is I, Lord. I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord.
have wept for love of them, they turn away. I will break their hearts of stone, give them hearts for love alone. I will speak my word to them, whom shall I send?
Here I am.
As I said, this morning we begin a new theme, serving Christ and each other. And as part of that theme, we'll be referring to our hands. Remember, hands are so much more than just the things we use to pick things up with. Hands are often extensions of our inner selves. We use our hands to express how we feel, sometimes to emphasize our words. So today, we shall be looking at the importance of our hands. We shall remember how Jesus brought healing and acceptance by reaching out and touching with his hands. Remember too how people reached out to touch Jesus. Let's also remember it's God's hand which guides us through this life. Let us pray. Lord, we come in our worship to touch you, our God. Our hands may be dirty or clean, soiled or washed, by the things we have done, the words we have said. Yet we reach out together, knowing you as our God, who longs to touch and be touched, who is ready to hold our hands and lead us on. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that your work of creation carries on throughout time, and that every day gives new possibilities and new beginnings. Lord, today, touch us in a new way. Thank you for all the new experiences in our lives. Help us to know when the new things are scary that however bad things look, you are with us and will never leave us. Lord, there are things we have done, said or thought that we are sorry about. In the quietness, we bring them before you. And Lord, you've offered and given us so much. You've revealed so much to us. And you've guided and guarded us on life's journey. And yet, we are so often ungrateful. So often we ignore what has been given. So often we've failed to see all that you show us. So often we've not sought peace with those around us. So often we've not shared with others your word of love and peace. Forgive us, Lord, that your blessings have been squandered by us ignored by us, misused by us, even abused by us. Forgive us, Lord, and in the silence of this moment, accept our individual confessions. Blessed be to you, O Lord, that we can know our sins, our failings, and know that they are forgiven. Amen. In Exodus chapter 15, Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. Your right hand, O Lord, was majestic in power. And in Psalm 37 we read, if the Lord delights in a person's way, he makes their steps firm. Though they stumble, they will not fall, for the Lord upholds them with his hand. Let us sing to the Lord as we confirm that his hand has guided his flock from age to age. Let's sing, Thy Hand, O God, has guided.
Thank you.
I wonder, have you ever stopped to think what a great privilege it is to be part of the Christian community? Perhaps too often we just take it for granted. Maybe we sometimes look on it as our right, even as an option which we can take or leave depending on our mood or our circumstances, or even on whether or not we happen to like the particular church community we attend. One aspect of our faith is the privilege we have of being able to speak directly to God. And that is made an even greater privilege when we are able to speak on someone else's behalf. So we do so now as we come again to God in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, once again we bring our concerns for the world and those around us. For those whose lives are lived with the backdrop of war, violence and conflict. Those whose families have been torn apart and fractured by the act of war. Those who find themselves without home, without family, without love, cast adrift from what they know and what has nurtured them, because others have acted callously and violently, greedily and selfishly. Lord, we pray for those who live in fear each day of more attacks and more bombs and violence. We pray for those who have died in the cause of war and the family they leave behind. We pray for the lives of that need to be remade, recovered and resolved. Lord, we especially bring to you the situation in Ukraine and Gaza, but also knowing that there are just far too many places and people in your world who are in a similar situation. And Lord, we pray for those in authority, in business and in government, that they may see a way forward that is honest and respectful, that treats those in need with dignity, care and support, that they may offer hope and light to the underprivileged and those in need. Lord, may society become a kinder, more inclusive place, a place that values the needs and respects the views of those around them. Lord, we pray for families and households across the world who are struggling and will struggle yet more with cost of living increases and commodity shortages. And Lord, we pray for those who go without because they have no choice, while others live excessive lifestyles. For those who feel forced into crime as a way of surviving and who end up in deeper, darker, more needy places as a result. And Lord, we pray for the lonely and the lost, the bereaved and the grieving, the ill and the dying. We pray that hands of love, fellowship, hospitality and care may be stretched out to them, that warmth and love and light and hope may be passed by a gentle touch, a smile, a word. And Lord, we pray for those known to us in the stillness of this place. Lord, we ask that you bless all those for whom we've prayed, that they may come to know compassion from us and new life from you. And Lord, we pray for ourselves this day and this week. Help us to know you are with us, whatever new experiences we have, and help us not to miss you in the ordinary parts of our lives. And Lord, as you taught us, so we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Lord, we just know how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes our sorrows, heals our wounds. It drives away our fears. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your dear Son, Jesus. Amen. Let's sing How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds.
How sweet the name.
So once again, we pause to bring our offering to the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, once again, we ask that you bless the offering of our lives and our resources that we make, as we all use the wonderful gift of your Holy Spirit to serve you and each other, as we care for your people and grow your kingdom here on earth. And Lord, once again, we say thank you with all of our being for the risen Christ, who is the centre of our lives, who is our source, our light, our hope, our song. Lord, continue to be the centre of our lives. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, writes, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfil the law of Christ." I said earlier that one of the ways in which we can serve others is helping to ease the burden they may be under. That burden may even be the burden of sin. Paul writes, "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you may also be tempted." Paul is making it clear that we are responsible for our own conduct. But he reminds us that what we do within a community. All that we do does affect others. So let's hear now from Paul's letter to the Galatians.
The reading is from Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 to 10. "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you are spiritual, should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself, without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
So Paul says, carry each other's burdens. Now, of course, this is hands-on Christianity. From the very beginning of creation, God has demanded a hands-on approach to our faith. It's a demand that we can accept or reject, but it's crucial to our faith. And so if we reject it, we are in fact rejecting our faith. We're rejecting eternal life. It doesn't matter who we are or what we do or what age we are or whether our hands are just too worn out to physically do too much. We can and must all have a hands-on faith. In our gospel reading, we hear that Jesus requires a hands-on faith, as we hear the account in Luke's gospel of the sending of 72 disciples to prepare the way for the kingdom of God. The instructions for the disciples' mission emphasize its urgency. For Luke, the demand is that people respond to the coming of God's kingdom now, and not sometime in the future. And that message is as pressing today as it was in Jesus' time. Luke tells us that rejection of the message might be final. There was no guarantee of a second chance. Let's hear now from the Gospel.
The reading is from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 12 and 16 to 20. "After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs amongst wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, "Peace to this house." If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Say in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there, and tell them, "The kingdom of God is near you." But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, "Even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet we wipe off against you." Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
So, hands-on Christianity. You know, being part of the Christian community is a privilege. It's a great privilege. It's also a challenge. And there's also a stark demand. If we accept God's offer of life in Jesus Christ, an offer that's there for everyone, we also have to accept that this is not a passive faith, and hard decisions will still have to be made. When we accept Jesus' call to follow him, we also accept our responsibility to grow the kingdom of God. And just as Jesus sent out those first 72 disciples, so he sends us out too, each one of us. Jesus placed his authority in the disciples' hands, and he does so with each and every one of us. And he expects us to use that authority to actively grow the kingdom. For ours is a hands-on Christianity. Each of us are challenged to proclaim the gospel. Each of us is challenged to grow the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus makes it perfectly plain. Those who proclaim the message are his representatives. This is what gives our task authority. But it also prevents us from claiming any importance for ourselves. Luke tells us that the 72 men came back in great joy. "Lord," they said, "even the demons obeyed us when we gave them a command in your name." Jesus answered them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Well, Jesus' vision of Satan's fall from heaven is a sort of visual aid, a pointer that where the gospel was preached and people responded positively, victory over evil was already being achieved. This is just so encouraging for us today. And Jesus speaks to us today with words of hope and encouragement, especially to those who feel that the church is in decline. That simple vision in Luke's gospel must stir the hearts of all who love the Lord and want to see his kingdom come in our generation. But not just stir our hearts, but also stir us into action. "Listen," said Jesus, "I have given you authority so that you can walk on snakes and scorpions, so that you can overcome all the power of the enemy, so that nothing will hurt you." It's just so encouraging and exciting. But what about this? Jesus adds, "But don't be glad because the evil spirit obeys you. Rather be glad, because your names are written in heaven. Well, as disciples, we share in Jesus' work. We share in the power over the forces that enslave men and women. But this should not become an occasion for pride, because what we are doing is God's activity, carried out through us, you and me, ordinary, everyday people. But the real miracle is this, that God not only chooses ordinary people as messengers, but also as recipients of divine gifts, and the greatest being the gift of eternal life. Jesus said, "Be glad, because your names are written in heaven." You know, I wonder if most people see Christianity as a gift. Do they rather have an image of the church as an organisation which is always appealing for money to mend a leaky roof or do this or that improvement? Do they see Christianity as a threat to their joys rather than the fulfilment of their identity? Do they see Christianity as a dreary attempt to be good rather than a dynamic experience of the love and power of Jesus? Have they any idea that God is willing to justify the utterly undeserving? Do they realise that it's not a question of grim duty, but of generous gifts, and the greatest being the gift of eternal life? Well, I doubt it. But from the very beginning of the Christian church, we see God's Spirit poured out onto his followers, bringing power and life and transformation. We see barriers broken down, lives transformed, and the good news of Jesus spread through the whole world. That life and power are ours today as a divine gift from God. And our response just has to be to pass on that gift to others by teaching them what our faith is really about, by helping them to understand that the Holy Spirit is moving among them right now, and he's waiting for them to respond and invite him into their lives. That's what they have to do. Respond. Ask Jesus to be in their lives. Jesus said to his disciples, "There is a large harvest, but few workers to gather it in. Pray to the owner of the harvest that he will send out workers to gather in the harvest." And he said, "Go, I'm sending you like lambs among wolves." Well, that's a bit scary. Lambs among wolves. Well, it's all very well for me to stand here and tell you to go out and proclaim the kingdom of God, to invite people to accept God's gifts. But I know it's not easy. But then so did Jesus. He knew it wouldn't be easy. As he said, we go out like lambs among wolves. But he also said, whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. And whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me. But he also tells us that if people reject our message, we mustn't worry. For Jesus said, whenever you go into a town and are not welcomed, go out in the streets and say, even the dust from your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you. But remember that the kingdom of God has come near to you. Well, some people just don't want to know. But, as Jesus said, we've done our duty, and we are able to say that the kingdom of God has come near to them as a result of our hands-on approach to our faith, through our hands-on Christianity. But remember too, people have to be allowed to find it out for themselves, to learn themselves. So our hands-on approach has to be measured. One of the most difficult things I've found with helping others is knowing how far to go. I say this because I find myself constantly wanting to help them, but conscious all the time that there are many things they have to learn to do for themselves. Learn through experience, even if that experience is a bad one. I find myself constantly wondering where to draw the line. how far to go in helping, and at the same time encourage them to find out for themselves. Being encouraged to think for yourself, to form opinions of your own, is all part of learning. It's what develops the brain. It's what makes learning so exciting. But wondering where to draw the line is just so frustrating. Well, at least I find it so. And sometimes I feel the same frustration when I'm preaching. It's great to be bombarded with facts, with information I picked up throughout the week, with all the things that God has been saying to me. But what do you think? What have you heard this week that would help us all to learn more about God? What have you learned over your life that you have kept bottled up inside and never shared with anyone? Or maybe with just a few people? And of course, maybe you don't come to church to learn. Maybe you just come to thank God for everything he's done for you, or to pray into a situation that's on your heart and mind. Well, that's okay. And I'd be the last person to even suggest that it's wrong. But there is more. More than we ever dare to imagine. There's no escaping the uncompromising challenge of today's gospel. It's a challenge that is linked to an image of harvest. Jesus says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the labourers are few." You've heard it before, and no doubt you will hear it again. But it's so true. There is a plentiful harvest to be gathered in. Just look around at the state of the world today. Just look around at your neighbours, or your friends, or even your family. Just look around the town today and the empty pews in the churches. You know, I started this morning's meeting with a challenge. Maybe you missed it, but let me repeat it. I said, are you ready? Are you ready for your life to be changed? Are you ready to meet with the living God? Well, I could almost hear the groans. Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful, but the labourers are few. Who are the labourers and the reapers? We are, because ours is a hands-on Christianity. Like the first disciples and the generations of people since, we have the challenge of working out what it means to be a hands-on Christian. I would say that it starts by loving one another. In our Bible study verse for this week, John 13, verse 34, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." You know, love is not simply a virtue of Christian life. It is the Christian life. It's the oxygen of the kingdom. There's no life without it. Everything, the spiritual gifts of prophecy, knowledge, wisdom, will come to an end. But love knows no end. It goes right through the portal of death and into eternity. We have to be prepared to meet with and serve the living God and his people every moment of every day. And the starting point for our faith to be a hands-on Christianity is the new commandment, love one another. Each generation has the hands-on task of loving another and carrying each other's burdens, even the burden of sin. Remember the words of Psalm 37. If the Lord delights in a person's way, he makes their steps firm. Though they stumble, they will not fall, for the Lord upholds them with his hand. And Paul says, carry each other's burdens. And he could have said, uphold them with your hands. My dear friends, God, through Jesus, has placed responsibility for the kingdom of God here on earth in our hands. Jesus says, listen, I have given you authority so what will you do with that authority? Remember, it's actually in your hands. And what you have to do is to use that authority in a hands-on way to grow the kingdom. Let's pray. Oh, what a wonderful gift hands are. Hands can be strong, lifting bricks, building homes, digging wells. Hands can be gentle, binding wounds, comforting pain, soothing troubles. Hands can be creative, making music, painting pictures, spinning wool. Hands can be helpful, sharing food, carrying loads, helping with work. Here are our hands, Lord, open and ready to receive whatever you give us today. Here are our hands, Lord, open and ready to give to all those we meet today. Here are our hands, Lord, open and ready to share the work and carry the load. Here are our hands, Lord, keep them from unkind actions. Here are our hands, Lord, use them in love and praise that we may serve all day until our hands rest in sleep. Lord, show us today what you would have us do with our hands, to carry each other's burdens, to bring revival, to bring heaven to earth. Amen. Let's sing "As Sure as Gold is Precious."
Precious and the heart is sweet. So you'll love this city and you'll love these streets. Every child out playing by their own front door. Every baby laying on the bedroom floor. Every dreamer dreaming in their bed and dark. Every driver driving through the rush of war. Feel it in my spirit, feel it in my bones. Gonna send the Bible, bring them all back home. Oh, where I can hear that thunder in the distance. It's like a train on the edge of the town. Preaching when the well is dry, to the lost soul reaching for a higher high, from the young man working through his hopes and fears, to the widow walking through the veil of tears, for every man and woman, every old and young. Every father and daughter, every mother and son. Feel it in my spirit, feel it in my bone. Gonna send the Bible, bring them all back home. Oh, I can hear that thunder in the distance. It's like a train on the edge of the town. I can feel down. Lay your burdens down.
preacher.
From the preacher, preacher, to the lost soul reaching for a higher, higher. From the young man working through his hopes and tears, to the widow walking through the veil of tears. Every man and woman, every old and young, every father's daughter, every mother's son, feel it in my spirit, feel it in my bones, my bones. Gonna send the Bible, bring it all back home. For I can hear that thunder in the distance, like a train on the edge of the town. I can feel the brooding of your spirit. Lay your burdens down.
We're saying goodbye to each other. We're going to different places and meeting different people. We're not sure what the week will hold. We'll be having good moments and bad moments. But we're not leaving you behind. Lord, we want to live life to the full. And we're not leaving you behind. Because we go in love and peace to serve Christ and each other with the blessing of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.